are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning. Welcome to 2019. Lovely time to be alive, isn't it? What a privilege to be the first person to bring a sermon in 2019. And, you know, Andy had on his heart a word which really fits so much with what I'm going to speak about today. Please give some thought, especially if you've been a bit dry, if you've been a bit distant from the Lord. It's just such a wonderful life to hear from God, to be living in where he wants, not where you want. There's a big difference. So let's just have a look at a scripture, which I think is often baffling or sometimes misunderstood. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And what does that mean? Work out your own salvation. Surely I've given my heart to the Lord. I'm saved by faith. It's not works that saves me. I'm saved by faith. So once you make that step towards the Lord, you acknowledge sin in your life. He said, nothing I can do about it, but Jesus, you died for that. Please forgive me. Take over my life. You are saved. So what's this work? Work out your salvation. See, if we're saved, it should show. Do people know that you're a different person? Do people know that there's something different about you? I was at a Hawthorn Geelong match once and just went on my own. Sat down, go through the whole thing. There was a lady and a lot of her friends sitting there. Go through the match. Geelong won, by the way. And at the end of the match, she turned to me and said, you don't swear, do you? I said, no, I don't. See, people should notice a difference. They should know that there's something not quite the same. And to me, this is what working out your salvation means. I was saved when I was 36. I had 36 years of good practice as a sinner. I was pretty expert at it too. 36 years. Now that's not going to disappear in one time at the altar. It's there. I've got to work at getting rid of all that garbage of before I was saved. Work out your salvation. Show that it means something. Show that there's a difference. And as we show that, we really have an impact. Now, I want to just consider the nation of Israel. They're in slavery in Egypt. God talked with Moses, said, I'm going to bring you out of here and I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Now that land wasn't just vacant stuff. It was full of idol worshippers, full of nations who were quite strong. So to get that land, okay, they were brought out of Egypt, but to get that land they had to fight for it. If you read the Old Testament, you'll read all about it. But see, think about us. When we come to the Lord, we're promised an abundant life. Promised salvation, eternal life, promised an abundant life. Now, just like that land which was inhabited by all those nations, so our lives are inhabited by sin. And we've got to do something about driving out those inhabitants. We've got to fight. We've got to work out our salvation. See, James makes this clear. I love James because he's so clear to me when I read it. And in James 2, verse 17 to 18. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So what are these works? Well, helping other people. Yes, that's, you know, we often think of that. Just doing something within the church, all of that. But to me, it just comes down to every part of our life. That's our works. Everything that we are doing, people are watching. You know very well, you've probably heard people comment to you, I thought you were a Christian and you do that. They're watching. And as they watch, we will then be a witness to them, good or bad. It's still a witness. Now, I want us to have a look at a little chart that illustrates what I'm saying, because I think too many of us neglect the Old Testament to our detriment. The Old Testament is there to give us instruction, to illustrate to us what we should be doing. So just have a look. In the Old Testament, God was speaking to the nation of Israel, basically, and especially when we concentrate on them coming out of Egypt. Speaking to a nation. But in the New Testament, it applies to all people. Not just the Jewish nation, all people. You and I, your neighbours, your workmates, everybody, it applies. The nation of Israel was slaves in Egypt. Mankind are slaves to sin. God sent Moses with his various miracles. Now we come to whether we really believe the Bible or not. Did they really walk through that Red Sea? Yep, they sure did. Did the firstborn of the Egyptians really die? Yes, they did. Miracles. And in the New Testament, God sends along Jesus. Well, Jesus comes along because he is God. Miracles. The greatest one of all, him dying and rising again. An incredible thing. What an incredible thing. And all of that, you see, God worked the miracles through Moses to bring Israel out of Egypt. God worked miracles through Jesus to bring us out of slavery to sin. So in the Old Testament, yes, they were set free. We are saved. We're set free from sin. They were promised a land that they could inhabit. We are promised an abundant life. Graham's favourite, isn't it? John 10:10. But part B says, I have come that I have life and life abundant. Beautiful. But then the Israelites come up to the promised land. They look at everything in front of them and they get cold feet. No, we don't want to go in there. You know the story. So God said, okay, you don't want to go there. I've promised it to you. Yeah, we have to fight. Look at those cities. Look at these, you know, big dudes here. We can't possibly defeat them. There's no way we can go in there. Righto, I've promised you. Off you go. You don't believe me. But we come, we're promised an abundant life, but somehow we get the idea that we've got to manufacture it. We've got to do something. We don't want to fight and give up that which we were so accustomed to. We've got to work at getting rid of what is not good and getting on with what is good. Let's go to that next slide, please, because I believe that we face just a basic choice. And the basic choice is, it's between our old life and our new way of living. We love the idea of salvation. We love the idea of, not being worried about death or so on. We love that. And yet so often, we're not prepared to work for it. We're not prepared to allow our faith to grow into that which will give us that abundant life. Now, I just want to, well, let's have a look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 first. So we're talking about salvation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I did explain that, yeah, that's true, but I had 36 years of practice as a sinner, and I had to get rid of that, and I had to take on the new that is offered to me through Christ. We all have that choice. We all. And you know, there's a real warning for us in Joshua. Joshua said, he's giving his last address to before he dies, and he's telling the people, look, God's given you all these promises. We've come so far, but we haven't finished the job. And he says these words, or else if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them and go on into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. How many people relate to what Andy said, where he just felt so strongly that there were people here who really have gone cold, need to make a step again, need to make a commitment again. See, those snares have come upon you because you haven't fought. And I'm not trying to tell you that I've got it all together. I'm still fighting. We all need to fight until the perfect comes. Well, that takes a lot. But fight on. Don't give it up, because if you do, this scripture applies. They become snares. They become pricks in your eyes. I'm just horrified at the figures on people who are addicted to pornography. I literally hate seeing people who cannot put their phones down. It's such a shame that so many people in our society go without because we are not prepared to give. There is so much that snares us. You know, you've got a house, you need a bigger one. How many rooms can you live in at one time? You've got a car. Does it get you from A to B? Do you really need to upgrade? could go on. But there is so much in this world that ensnares us. So, Dave, you're not allowed to look at your phone today to see the cricket score, okay? You've got to wait until after the service. Is that right? But I think you know what I mean. Don't get ensnared. So, how do we do this? Okay, let's have a look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, excuse me. It's good. And the Lord God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You'll be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. You got it? Little by little. You can't face it all at once. And I believe that's half a problem of the Israelites when they came into the promised land. They saw the whole thing. No, we can't do this. Too many of them, too strong. No. Let's go to Jericho first. Get rid of that. Then go to Ai. Get rid of that. Little by little by little. When I became a Christian, God really, he started working on me and I did get a bit overwhelmed. I had so much that needed dealing with. Stealing, swearing, exaggeration, anger, impure thoughts. I could go on and on and on. You can make your own list. I couldn't handle all of that at once. And God, in his wisdom, showed me how little by little. Let me give you an example. Stealing. I didn't break into houses. I didn't hold people up. I didn't pickpocket. What I did was I would go to the town near where we were living. I would pay for a ton of cement. Pay at the head office and go down to the warehouse. At the warehouse, we'd start loading the cement. And the people who were supposed to be helping weren't that enthusiastic to help, so they just used to sit down. So I used to lose count. And I justified it by saying, these four bags extra, that pays for our labour. That's stealing. And God told me it was stealing. And he told me to do something about it. Oh, couldn't take cement back, already mixed it up. It was concrete. So I fronted up to the manager of the store and I said, now, you've got to remember I was a missionary and the principal of a high school there. And I fronted up to the store and I said, excuse me, I've been stealing from you. Can I please pay for what I've stolen? He said, what are you talking about? So I gave him the story. And he said, really? I said, yeah. He said, well, no, don't pay for it, but thank you for telling me. Now I know where all this cement is going. There must have been other people who were even, more generous to themselves than I was. But I mentioned that I was a missionary and the principal of the school there because I had to do, it cost me. It wasn't easy to front up to that guy because small town, I would see him regularly. And yet God said, fix it. Well, that fixed it all right. So the enemy has no hold on me whatever in that area. Money, no temptation at all. Can't tempt me. because there's victory there. Now, what about you? Have you got stuff that needs doing? I could go on with a big list, but I won't bore you. But little by little. You see, I didn't tackle everything at once. I tackled that stealing or that dishonesty. I tackled that first. I want you to consider your life. I want you to think, where are you? What was our first scripture? It just said, work out your salvation. Are you working at it, or you are just on hold? Are you progressing? Because if you don't progress, you do regress. There's no such thing as just marking time, really. So let's just consider a couple more scriptures. Let's have a look at Ephesians. Now, I've chosen quite a long passage in Ephesians because Paul really is giving us a blueprint of how to work out, how to do this working out. So he says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, yeah, that's me, that each one of you speak the truth with his neighbour, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Man, I still struggle that one. I really have to fight that anger thing. But I'm still fighting. Far better than it used to be, but still there. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let's go to the next slide, please. Let him who stole steal no longer. Told you about that. Rather, let him labour, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, and it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I'd encourage you, go home, have a look at that scripture and go through it bit by bit. It might give you some indication of what you need to work on. This is what I do with scripture. When I read something like that, okay, Lord, how does that apply to me? What do I have to do about that? Is there work for me there? And I'll guarantee that each one of us can find something in that. Okay, let's move on to the next, not the 2 Corinthians one, please, but the next one, replace bad with good. So we're looking at how to practically work out our salvation. So you look at things. Now remember, we read little by little. You're not going to do all of this at once. But you've got to replace bad with God, with good. Yeah, or replace bad with God too. That'd be all right. But as the Israelites conquer, then occupy. It's no good conquering and then not occupying. You see, we do have some warnings that if we get rid of some spirits and there's a space left, a spirit will run around looking for where he can go. And if he finds a space not occupied, he's going to come back with seven of his mates. So we have to get rid of what is bad, replace it with good. So lying. Now, lying, yeah, you can tell a porky, but it also means exaggerating. It's a lie. It means we're trying to colour the truth a bit. So replace that with truth. Stealing, work hard, you'll have enough. Corrupt lusts, renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? Get into scripture. That'll renew your mind. It's good for that. Anger with calmness. Corrupt words with edifying words. Stop and think about your words. Are you normally critical, or are you normally trying to lift people up? Hey, that's a good job. That was really good. Or, can't you do better than that? Just these things help us to work out our salvation, to work out this, that Christ will shine through in everything we do. And then I've got bitterness, wrath, clamour, evil speaking, malice, all taken from Ephesians. Replace all of that with kindness, tender-hearted, forgiveness. Now, so we've had a look at what we're to do. We've had a look that it's little by little. So how do we do the little by little? Well, here we go. Graham, thank you. Last year you gave a wonderful sermon on losing weight. Hasn't had an effect yet, but in this context, have a look at these four steps. I really like the way Graham put it, so that's why I'm using it. Identify first. Go home and make a list. What do I need to do to work out my salvation? Not what that other bloke needs to do, or not what my wife needs to do. What do I need to do? Identify it. List it down. And then, little by little, take one of them and confess. Yeah, I gave you the example of me with the stealing. I had to go to that manager and confess. No good me just staying in my room and confessing, yeah, God, please forgive me. I had to go to him and say, look, mate, I've been stealing from you. Will you please forgive me? Well, he did. I was knocked over by his response. Don't worry about paying for it, but thank you, you're going to save me a lot of money. Then focus on it. Really drill down on it, whatever it is. I mentioned pornography before. If you're tied up in that, confess it. And then focus. As soon as something comes that tries to grab your attention, get rid of it. Focus on it. And then train yourself. Train yourself in what is good to replace what is bad. That's little by little. That is step by step. When you win one of them, cross it off your list and go on to the next one. And if your list gets a bit short, have a good honest look at yourself and make another list. But keep fighting. Keep going at it. Work out your salvation. Now, I wonder if the worship team could come up, please. Because we're going to take communion in just a moment. And while we're taking communion, I really would like each one of us to focus, to really identify. So yes, God, you've been speaking to me today. I've I've been a bit lax. I've been satisfied with where I am. I'm not trying to improve. I've given up on some of these things. I may have been with you for many years, but that's nothing to God. He can help you. He can see you through. And could we have the elements distributed, please? I want to sing "You Can Have It All, Lord," the one we had before. And as these elements are being distributed, as you take these elements into your hands, let me read you another couple of scriptures. Numbers chapter 33. "But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes, thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land." Thank you very much. "They shall harass you in the land where you dwell." And Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. "And the Lord your God, will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you." See, when I was on New Island, all we had was jungle, and we decided that we wanted to grow a lot of food. So we started little by little. Now, if we'd gone through the jungle and just slashed it and cleared it, by the time we got to that end, we'd come back, it would have been regrown. So we cleared a bit, then we planted. We planted grass for cattle. The grass would take over, we'd clear a bit more, little by little. We conquered and we inhabited. Take these elements. Identify what you need to work on. Identify what you've been neglecting. And then through these elements, because Christ died not just for our salvation, he died that we might have an abundant life. And as we just hold these elements, I want us to sing, "You Can Have It All, Lord." Because part of our problem is that we don't give it all to God. We hang on to some of those things which give us, you know, fleeting pleasure. But can you give it all to God today? You can have it all, Lord. And as you identify those things which you haven't given or which you've given up fighting for, then take your communion in faith and say, "With God, I can conquer these things. Little by little, I'm going to do it."